chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. One of the major aspects of confusion in this country deals with definitions of words, and I think we're all aware of that. A lot of words have been redefined. A lot of words have been just totally changed from their meanings even 15, 20 years ago. And it's very interesting. I had a conversation with someone on the internet not long ago, and I asked them if they had truly been born again. And their comment was, well, I really haven't been born again, but I consider myself to be a very spiritual person. And I thought that was interesting. They consider themselves to be a spiritual person. I think that every born-again person is supposed to be a spiritual person. But how spiritual are we really? And the Bible goes into great depths to give us an indication as to what being a spiritual person is. And tonight what I'd like to do is just go over some of those scriptures so that we can judge ourselves and then answer the question, how spiritual am I really? But a born-again person truly is spiritual because they haven't had just the physical birth, they have had the spiritual birth as well. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'd like for you to take a look at verse 13. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, now is the natural man a saved or a lost person?
Lost.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And here we have our basis for understanding what a spiritual person is. A spiritual person is a person who's been born again by the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, and they have a new nature. They're not the natural man anymore. Now, I'm going to go over some characteristics that the Bible says a spiritual person would have. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. See if any of these things apply to you. Yeah. And if you see that they do, great. If you see some areas where you're lacking, then you know areas that you need to be working on. How important is it to be a spiritual person? Well, once we're born into the kingdom of God, we sometimes take great comfort from the fact, all right, I've been saved now. But there are an awful lot of things up ahead that we simply are not going to be able to comprehend unless we are spiritually minded. And the Bible is very specific about this. And I think the current things that are going on in the world indicate how important it is really to be spiritually discerning in the biblical term. To give you an example about how important this is, as many of you know, several head cardiologists in this country have written books dealing with people coming back from the dead. And they talk about the experiences that these people convey to them. Some of them have been very close to the Lord, and they're able to give a much more detailed explanation of what they saw. That they were able to describe things and tell about things that people who either didn't know the Lord or people who were very shallow in their faith and were missing out on a lot of spiritual things, those people generally, you know, they talk about the light, the tunnel, seeing people, and that's pretty much it. They really didn't get a glimpse with the same perspective as those who are really close to the Lord. And I think that all the cardiologists, at least all the ones that I've read, give the same basic report. So one of the first things that we need to note is, let's say God was to call each one of us home tonight. What are we going to see? Are we going to focus on what is really important? You see, here's where being spiritually minded helps. Those who are close to the Lord, the very first thing that that focused their attention was seeing the bright light of the Lord Jesus. They were focused on Him. They saw Him in His glory. And that is the thing that was overwhelming to them. His beauty, His holiness, His radiance. But others, they got up there and they said, "Oh, I saw the flowers. And, oh, I saw Uncle Jed. He was out there walking, didn't walk with a cane anymore." And they talk about everything else. You being spiritually minded, or being truly a spiritual person, is going to have everything to do with how you approach heaven. It's going to have everything to do with how you approach difficult situations down here on the earth. So let's look at Romans chapter 8 for a second. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." There's something that precedes this. And it really sheds a light on what we just read. But I left it out deliberately. What is the end result of you becoming a more spiritual person? Look at verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, when you get saved, Jesus makes it very plain. He told this to Nicodemus, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Hath everlasting life. And we believe from other teachings in Scripture as well that the very moment that you receive Christ as Savior and the Holy Spirit comes into your body, at that very moment you have everlasting life. That's when it begins. Everlasting life doesn't begin when your body is in a coffin. Everlasting life begins the moment you're saved. And to be spiritually minded, when it talks about being life and peace, that life is supposed to begin now. We are supposed to be striving to be more spiritual people in this life, because it's going to affect the life up there too. And it says life and peace. Life and peace. Paul talked about this. The Romans were coming after him. He'd been in jail many times, in stocks. He had been beaten. All sorts of things came against Paul. And Paul pointed out that in his life, he had peace despite all the calamity that was going on in the world. This could be a very hot summer in America. That this could be a very difficult time where people even would be afraid to go to the grocery store alone or without an armed guard. It's going to come to that, whether it's this summer or next summer. It's coming. And some of you are going to really need the peace of God, because, I mean, there's only so much fingernails you have to bite. You're going to run out sooner or later. The peace of God. If you are a spiritually minded person, you have that peace. Paul had that peace. In the midst of the storms, he had that peace. In the midst of the attacks against him, he had that peace. When the churches were going off in the wrong direction, he had that peace. Because he was a spiritual person. Now it says spiritually minded, one of the scriptures we mentioned. Spiritually minded. How spiritually minded are you? I mean, a lot of people only see things one way. I mentioned the guy who had year after year after year going to the same gas station. And every time, same clerk, same gas station. And one day the Lord told him, I want you to go to another one. And, well, Lord, which one do I go to? He went to another gas station. And there he found this woman who had just lost her boyfriend or had broken up. She was in tears and had a chance to talk with her, lead her to the Lord. And, you know, it's kind of sad when we get into a rut of looking at things physically, the way we always do things, and we don't think about the spiritual things behind them. Is it a spiritual thing for you to choose a doctor? Or is it simply, well, this is the one that they recommend, so this is where I'm going to go. Is it a spiritual thing to determine what you're going to do with your paycheck each week? Well, some people say, well, I don't have any choice about it. I got to do this, this, and this. And suddenly, God's left out of the equation altogether. Is it a spiritual thing to determine what clothes you're going to put on? And again, a lot of people just figure, it doesn't matter. It's just physical things that everybody has to deal with. And there's more to it than that. A lot more to it. Spiritual person thinks about spiritual things, the things that are behind the things that you see. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now that talks about discernment. That everything that we do needs to be in light of what does God want me to do? And this is where an awful lot of Christians have failed. Because they figure, well, you know, these are necessities, this is what I do, and then over here, this is my spiritual life, this is what I do on Sunday, I read my Bible and I pray, and this is my spiritual life. When you got saved, God bought you lock, stock, and barrel. Every part of you, every part of your life, every hour of your life now belongs to the Lord. And so, your spiritual mindedness really should include everything in your life. Notice this, it says, he that is spiritual judges all things. How many things have you not even thought about? For an example, I know some people that on the quest to become more spiritual, they started questioning everything that they did in their lives. And they thought about, man, we got a cable bill. What spiritually, what benefit do I get from that cable bill? What do I get from it? And you know what? They dropped cable altogether. Others, they had other bills that they had to pay. And you know, the non-spiritual person says, well, they're bills, they got to pay them, that's it. The spiritually minded person evaluates things, judges them, and says, what should I do with this? Should I get out from under it? Should I keep on paying it? They're looking at how the thing is going to glorify God the most. How is he going to get any glory out of it? I met a fellow, and he's a little bit different. Very independent-minded, and he's a Christian. And he, too, was determined to become more spiritual. So he began to judge everything in his life, and he started thinking about something as simple as an electric bill. Now, we all know we have to pay our electric bills, so they're going to turn them off. They're going to turn off your power. He decided, you know, I'm going to investigate into solar energy. And so he looked at it. He found a company that was going to finance it for basically the same amount that he was paying in electricity now. And he prayed about it and decided, you know, this is what the Lord wants me to do. And so he went out and he got the solar power. And I went by his house, I guess about 2 months ago, and his whole roof is just filled with solar panels. And I thought, he was true to his word. He said he was going to look into everything in his life and determine, what does God want me to do? And he went ahead and he did it. Now, the problem with a lot of Christians is they're not willing to judge what they're doing. They're more than happy to judge what somebody else is doing. But they're not willing to sit down and evaluate, here's my life. Why is it the way that it is? Am I really being a spiritual person by the biblical definition, or am I just caving in to whatever comes my way? A spiritual person thinks about spiritual things. A spiritual person is someone who judges, is a discerner. Let's go over to Ephesians. Chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. A spiritual person is involved in spiritual warfare. No way around it. If you're a spiritual person, you know that it isn't just good things that you can't see. There are entities that the Bible calls evil spirits, calls them demons, devils, and these things are not good at all. We can't base our lives on the idea that everything's going to work out for good and just leave it at that. The scripture doesn't say that. It says all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the first thing. And are called according to his purpose. Two things involved here, loving God and are called according to his purpose. Are you fulfilling that calling that God gave to you? That's the only way that everything's going to work together for you. There are an awful lot of Christians who have bad things happen to them and they're wondering why. And they say, well, is it me? Is it God chastening me? Is it the devil? And they, the unspiritual people automatically say, well, the devil's coming against me because God wouldn't slap me. Yes, he would. If he loves you, he will. I think one of the signs that a person isn't saved is when they don't have any chastening. You find a person who doesn't get spanked every now and then, you find somebody who isn't saved. But it is so important for us to be involved in spiritual warfare. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 6. And take a look at verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Any Christian who cannot see the spiritual warfare going on in our political system is not spiritually minded. There are so many battles going on. There are so many things behind the scenes that we can't see physically, but they're there. And anybody who can't get a grasp on that isn't where they ought to be in their relationship with the Lord. Early Christians, they didn't vote for emperor. They were stuck with whoever was there. But you know what? They saw the spiritual problems behind the emperor, behind the Roman Senate, behind all these other people who were ruling the world at that time. They could see the spiritual entities. And this is where it's so important for us. If we were able to see these things, we could come against them, and we could see a much better course for Christians in this world. While the rest of the world's being judged, we could be given a reprieve. We could prosper. We could accomplish things for God that others couldn't. But it takes spiritual insight. It takes spiritual judgment. And when that scripture talks about us fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places, when was the last time you fought against spiritual wickedness in high places? I'm not talking about in your own life. I'm talking about in high places. What high places? Military? White House? Congress? Senate? State House in Tallahassee? When was the last time you were involved in any sort of spiritual battle? And let's even make it more local. When was the last time you were involved in a spiritual warfare that involved our own community? There are things, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail tonight. Most of you are unaware of this. A few of you probably remember. There are a number of satanic covens in this forest. And what they do is to send out demons to disrupt. And this is where, again, not going into a whole lot of detail. The enemy is given assignments. Now, you can understand this because, you know, Gabriel said, "Daniel, I'm sent from God." And he appeared to Zacharias. "Zacharias, God sent me here." The angels are given, and the angels of God are given assignments. We also know that Satan assigns his angels to bring messages, to disrupt things, to tear apart marriages, to do all sorts of things. This is on a local level. If you can't see this, how are you going to fight it? You may have people that you care about. Their lives are being torn apart. You don't know why. Doesn't make any sense. Well, a lot of the things that the devil does don't make any sense because he's telling them things and you don't even know what they're thinking. So how can you fight it from a physical standpoint? You can't see the demons. You don't know what they're telling. But if you can identify that this is the problem, you can come against the demons. And by the power in Jesus' name, you can win. But when was the last time, on a local level, you prayed against spiritual powers? This is what the scripture's talking about. And you know, all the way up to the White House. As Christians, we need to be praying that whoever gets in provides for us just some peace. We can do what God called the church to do. Most people are praying, "Who's going to make me the most prosperous?" That's totally carnal. That's materialistic. That isn't what a Christian's supposed to do. That's why we have the mess in America right now. It's because Christians have become so materialistic that they don't see that spiritual things are much more important. Supposed to be fighting against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Some of you are aware, because you've been involved in this, that when you come in here on a Sunday morning and people feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the peace of God, one of the reasons is There were people who are spiritually minded who, before you came in, they were praying that the demons weren't allowed in. They were praying that the demons would be bound and could not operate. Do you realize how many places, how many churches are disrupted because of satanic activity? And even though you can't see it, you see the physical results. And then you get a bad feeling and you wonder, where did that come from? Well, if you're spiritually minded, you know. You know. A spiritual person confirms what the scriptures say. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I have written unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I've written to you are the commandments of God. In other words, a person who is spiritual is going to agree that the Word of God is truly the Word of God. We have all sorts of literature coming in from time to time where they've changed the Word of God. They've twisted it. They've left things out. They've added things in. You know, Satan learned something over the years that you don't do away with all the Bibles just by burning them because you can't get them all. What you do, you replace them with something that is, quote unquote, easier to read. And so we see this huge change taking place in the world today where the actual scriptures are being replaced by things that faulty theologians want to put into our hands. We have to be careful about this. A person who is spiritual acknowledges this is the Word of God. We believe it. That's settled. This is from God. Then, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, spiritual person has received spiritual gifts. In verse 1 it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There are divisions of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit," I'm talking about spiritual gifts now, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." One of the great tragedies that's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ is that all these people who say, "Well, I know God gave out spiritual gifts, but I must have been at the end of the line and he ran out." Or they say, "Well, I'm sure that I do have a spiritual gift. I just haven't found out what it is yet." Let me tell you something. God doesn't play hide and seek. He doesn't play games with something so important as eternal life and the souls of men. He doesn't play games like that. And to accuse him of saying, "I'm giving you this spiritual gift, but I'm not going to let you know what it is," is to accuse him falsely. The Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to how many?
Every man.
Every man. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, it's because you haven't taken the time to find out. You want a list of spiritual gifts? There they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The spiritual person says, I need tools, spiritual tools, so I can accomplish what God has called me to do. So, but I don't teach a Sunday school class. Doesn't matter. Oh, but I don't have any official position. Doesn't matter. You have an official position from God. You're called as His child to be an ambassador from Him. You are called to share from Him His message with other people. That is a calling, and that is just one calling. People have different administrations on how they do it. Some do have a class. Some do have a prayer group that gets together. Some do have other activities. But it's all the same God taking these spiritual gifts, and the spiritual person says, I want to use what God gave to me for the glory of God. Now, we've looked at a bunch of these already. We've seen that spiritual person thinks about spiritual things. Spiritual person is one who judges all things. Spiritual person is involved in spiritual warfare. A spiritual person acknowledges the Word of God. A spiritual person has spiritual gifts and uses them for the glory of God. And then a spiritual person has a genuine compassion for others. In Galatians chapter 6, this is something that has been greatly lost by a lot of Christians. They cannot put themselves into someone else's shoes. They can't understand what it would be like to be homeless or to have been raised by parents who just don't care. It's hard for them to understand when a child comes in and they're cursing and they're swearing and they're rebelling against all authority. It's hard for them to comprehend how that can be, and they think if I just smack them down, then they'll be good. A lot of Christians don't have any compassion for other Christians either. The sign of a spiritual person, by biblical definition, is that they care about the other person. Look at this in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, that's what we all should strive to be, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see somebody who has done something wrong? Do you go behind their backs and start telling everybody about it? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to help them. You're supposed to help them. How many of you, I don't want to show of hands, but how many of you every night pray for certain people that you know have sinned, done something wrong, and you pray for them every night faithfully because they're your brothers or sisters? Do you pray for them, or during the day you just get ticked off about even thinking about them and say, well, they did this, they did that. Man, I don't know about those people. I don't even know if they're saved or not. What do you do? The spiritual person tries to restore that person to Christ. They don't go around talking about them behind their back. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. A spiritual person is a musical person. You know, some people say, well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. That's okay. I haven't heard of anybody putting a tune in a bucket anyway. So no sense in trying to carry it. The Lord tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, doesn't he? And if you're not perfectly on key, then the Lord understands that. You just work at it. I've known people down through the years that, you know, they basically were tone deaf, but God taught them how to hear musical notes, and man, they have such beautiful voices now. But here's something that the Bible shows us that I think is really important for any Christian, because it kind of is an asset to our joy. Colossians 3 in verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How does it say to admonish one another? Get your finger and poke it in their chest and say, you are the person. Songs. Songs. You know what? I love that encounter Stephen had at the post office. It's a good thing that some of the people in there were Christians, because I know some post offices, you go in there, you'd be arrested for disturbing the peace. But in this case, that didn't happen. But you know what? You get people's attention, don't you? If you were to go into some place where a person had just made a bad mistake, and you just said a couple bars from Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, you think you'd get their attention? You could say something, but chances are it'll make them mad. You sing something, and they're saying, huh? It registers. Husbands and wives would be much better off, instead of fiery words, if they use songs to sing, to praise God, to point out the grace of God and how good He is to you. The spiritual person doesn't try to avoid worshiping together with other Christians. The spiritual person wants to sing, wants to praise God, whether or not they can be in perfect tune. They want to praise God. Another one in Ephesians chapter 5. And because we have several of these notations in the epistles, I kind of suspect that whenever Paul went and visited a church, that he left behind a very strong legacy. Hey, you guys need to start singing. You need to start praising God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That pleases the Holy Spirit so much more than singing a Budweiser jingle. Is that what we do? Do we go about the day singing and praising God in our hearts, even when it's not coming out our mouths? A spiritual person will. A spiritual person will. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I know we're going to end late, but not much. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 5. It says, and ye as living stones are built up a spiritual house a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. When was the last time you offered up a spiritual sacrifice? Do you even know what it is? A spiritual sacrifice. A lot of Christians have never even thought about that. What is a spiritual sacrifice? Okay. I'm going to let you chew on it. But yeah, that's the beginning of it. Yeah. Spiritual person wants to have and strives toward deeper understanding. Surface stuff that doesn't impress a spiritual person. They analyze things. They bring things to God. And they come to a conclusion that God brings to them. One last verse, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, from the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You know, this isn't just for the Sunday school teacher. This isn't just for the preacher. This isn't just for the evangelist. This is for the average, everyday Christian, a child of God, washed in the blood of Christ, knows that they've been born again. This is for everyone who is saved. We're supposed to be spiritually minded. And yet the world has us so focused down on just the things that we see. So many parents today, they don't teach their children anything spiritual. Nothing spiritual. That's tragic. Nothing that goes beyond just the physical appearance of things. I knew a child who was given a boat, and it was just made out of leftover lumber, just a tiny little boat. Paint on it was well worn, held together by nails. This little child didn't like it. "I want a new one. I want a new one." And here's where the parents did the right thing. The father said, "When I was your age, I made this little boat. And I painted it," and he told how he got the wood from people who were building nearby, the little leftover pieces, the scraps. And he told about how when it rained and the water flooded the streets, that he'd let it go down the gutters and watch it sail on its own. And he taught the child this. Taught the child that boat is very special because there are things about that boat you can't see. Today, what do we teach our kids about things, material things? About the only thing that they can't see are the batteries. And after the batteries die, then they see them too. But everything else is just given to them. There's nothing behind it. I want you to think about all the things that God has given to you. Some of them have a long story behind them. Some of the things, some of the events that God has brought about required years of preparation before you ever got them. Have you even looked into that and considered how great a God it is who, knowing what we would need way up ahead, began preparing to provide that need years before? The spiritually minded person digs deeper than the carnally minded person. The person who is influenced by this world stops at just what they see, and that's it. But the spiritually minded person knows there's more to it, and they want to know what that is. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? We see Jesus being brought down here to this earth, and yet very few people ever give God the credit for the fact that he had prepared Jesus to come thousands and thousands of years before. The Bible says before the creation of the earth, Jesus was prepared to come and die for us. That's the way God does things. And if we want just to take things on the surface and be very superficial about our lives, we can say, okay, there's the manger, there's Jesus, it just happened. Isn't that wonderful what God did? You can be saved and believe that, but you're not going to be spiritual. If you truly want to be a spiritual person, dig deeper. See the hand of God working. See the battles that are raging, that you have ignored, and all that you see is just the results of those battles that you've lost. Instead, God wants us to look into things and wage warfare and to win. Are you the spiritual person God wants you to be? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the many, many times that you bring up the whole issue of being a spiritual person and what it takes. And Father, we know that it just doesn't happen. It isn't an automatic thing because we're saved that we become spiritual. It's something that we have to work at. Something that day by day we submit to you, we learn more, we submit to you again, and we learn even more. Day after day, Father, you guide us and direct us, and this is what we need. We need the leadership of your Holy Spirit so that we might become all that you want us to be. And Lord, this world is so hungry for truth. This world is desirous of knowing those that are going to be truthful and stand up for the truth, even though they may hate it like the scribes and the Pharisees hated you. But Father, one day they're going to have to give an account that they knew that they were wrong, just as the world today would have to give an account when they accuse us. Father, bless each one here tonight who knows you, who loves you, and wants to become closer to you. Bless them, Father, as they seek to use all methods possible, all ways that they can get closer to you by setting aside the things of this world and looking deeper, judging more, and restoring those who need help. Help us, Lord, to see the spiritual side of things that we can't see with our eyes. Father, we pray that this would result in our lives being more pliable and usable by your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless each one that's here tonight with this challenge, that they truly would become spiritual people, always growing, always discerning, and always instruments that you can use for your glory. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you would, two people to pray for, more than two people. Let's continue praying for the family of Michael Jennings and also the lady who lost her house a couple doors down. Joanne Harkins is still in intensive care in Shan's burn unit. Be in prayer for her, for spiritual issues as well as the physical. But please remember them. And let's look forward to what God's going to do. Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday morning. God bless.